The year is 1756, as Frederick the Great, the King of Prussia, sees how the Seven Years' War looms. He is surrounded by enemies who wish him nothing and his country but destruction. France, Austria, and Russia, with Sweden also there, plot against him to take him down, as France even unites some of the German states to also get a piece of him. Everyone wants to destroy Prussia, and its arrogant ruler Frederick. That's how they see him, at least. Frederick is basically by himself, with nothing except a little German state of Hanover, and also some money coming in from the British for support. It seems as if it's a doomed effort, as how can one man with one army defend his lands from other grand armies of Europe? And to make matters worse, three of them, with another one in Sweden getting ready too, as they see blood in the water. In the board game Frederick, you take on the role of him, as he has to find a way in the Seven Years' War to survive, until his enemies basically just go away through unforeseen circumstances. Or you'll take on one of the other kings and queens, plotting to destroy him. The game basically is a 3-on-1, but France, Austria, and Russia, don't get them all mixed up. They don't like each other. They're all racing to see who can take him down first. So you play as either a role in the race to take down Frederick, or you play as the man who must fight for his survival and his country's survival to survive and outlast whatever the terrors of this wars he's gonna have to fight will take. He goes on the offensive though and takes Saxony, as he thinks an offense could be a good defense, but it's too late as everyone else is invading. This is Frederick the Board Game, and I'm so happy to be reviewing it today. Which, by the way, to add, this is my favorite board game ever made. Frederick is the latest game I've gotten, and I think it's my favorite board game I've ever played. It's the perfect mix of tactics, role-playing, luck, and fun. And it doesn't simulate the Seven Years' War for Prussia, but it does a very good job at almost reenacting it. So, basically in the game, you either take on the role of Frederick, so basically you're in charge of Prussia, and you also control Hanover, which is a state two on the board the left of Prussia. And to tell you the truth, you could have a second person play as Hanover to kind of, like an ally, you could, if you had an extra person, let's say you have five people, you could theoretically have them play as Hanover and they'd still have fun, but you're supposed to kind of play as both. And your job is basically just to survive. Because France, Austria, and Russia with Sweden, by the way, and Austria with the Imperial Army, they're all out to get you. They're all coming after you, so you need to do whatever you can to survive until slowly cards reveal time events which kick armies out of the game. So each army theoretically has objectives. Frederick in the advanced games can invade Austria, but I've never played with that and I have no intention to because I think it'd be too stressful. But as Frederick, your goal is to hold the different objectives against all three armies. So all five, because there's two side armies, but they're very minor and they don't become a role till later in the game usually, but basically these armies have to capture little flags on the board, and if they get all their objectives by the end of their turn, they win the game because they've taken the most. So what this does is it creates some tensions because the allied nations all against Frederick are all trying to win, but they don't want the other person to win, so it can get very tense and be kind of sometimes a nation has to sacrifice a little to help the others, but will they do so? So how the game works basically is you have your generals, which have their troops with them, and you have supply lines. And with these supplies, so you have your troops and you can maneuver them. You have pencil and paper. You write down what troops go where. And then from there, you put your piece. So it's a little bit of fog of war. So your generals, which are little circles on the board, you place them. And then from there, you basically, as I said, maneuver them around. So how it works is, in your own little country, or country you kind of aligned yourself with, you can move as freely as you want. But the second you invade Prussia, or the second Prussia leaves Prussia, you have to have a cube as a supply line, because it's, in theory, the supplies to get to your army in a neighboring country. So it creates a very good balance between trying to maneuver to take objectives, but also make sure your supply line's safe. Trying to be realistic kind of to the war. So I don't know if I think I explained it in the cold open, but I do want to re-explain it. It takes place during the Seven Years' War. And in real life, Frederick was against all these armies, and his only ally was basically the British giving him money in Hanover, the state, helping him out against France. Besides that, he was on his own. And kind of like in the real war, basically, the queen of Russia, or I don't know if she was the queen, someone very important in Russia died, and her heir was a big fan of Frederick the Great, and he basically took Russia out of the war, and even at a point aligned himself with Frederick, but then he got killed off by his wife, so pretty much it became full circle, and Russia just stopped and left. And from there, Austria and France and even Sweden had no chance against them, so they all slowly pulled out. The game does this with cards that have events, and after the fifth turn, you draw cards, and some of them, like, there's a card that bankrupts France and takes them out of the game eventually if they have two cards that take them out. Russia has one that takes them out. Sweden has a surrender card. Basically, once those guys all get eliminated, the game ends. So as Frederick, you're just trying to last as long as you can to survive. And how you survive is basically on the board, it's a grid. So you have your map of with Prussia, Poland, which Russia starts in, the Imperial Empire, Hanover, and Austria. And basically on the board, there's areas like on a grid, which tell you what card you have to use. So you have playing cards. So theoretically with the playing cards, whoever has the higher cards and whoever plays more and has, it's like a power level. So let me give you an example. If I have Frederick the Great and I'm battling an Austrian general, if theoretically the Austrian general is 5 and I have 4, because I'm down one, I can either retreat and lose one because I'm down by one, or I can use a playing card with the correct suit, so either hearts, diamonds, clubs, spades, to try to battle them out. And whoever finishes off with the higher score wins. And the difference is how many troops the other person loses and how much they have to retreat. So if Frederick, early in the game, it's really smart if you just kind of retreat and kind of pick your battles very wisely, because you're up against, you don't have much of a chance. And then you really only want to get aggressive and win battles when you absolutely have to. So what's kind of cool is Frederick is deceiving, because Frederick is by far the most powerful. But slowly as the game goes on, as he gets weakened, and there's cards that weaken him in that fate deck as well. Like, there's event cards that weaken him too. He's slowly going to have to start winning more battles and stop retreating, or else he's going to lose. So you have to get more aggressive with your cards slowly. But also, when you use a suit of cards against one army, you basically now can't use them against another army, so they see blood in the water and can strike there. It's such a tactically brilliant game, because it's like you want to use, let's say, your diamonds against France, but then now you can't use your diamonds against Austria because they'll crush you, because they'll obviously have more diamonds. And although Frederick does get the most cards, let's face it, he's against 3, sometimes 5 armies, because Sweden and the Imperial Army start very weak, but they get very powerful quickly. So you're going to be up against that. It's very difficult to explain. It's very difficult. So as Frederick, you just want to hold out till hopefully those event cards will just give you the war as a win when they all surrender. What I love about the game, though, is the storylines it creates. Because there's also, within the event cards, also other things. So for example, in my playthrough, it was kind of like there's cards that talk about Frederick being depressed, and there's other cards that talk about Frederick all of a sudden being like very arrogant, and there's cards that have, let's say, the queen of, or I think she was one of the high-end commanders in France or something, she gets all angry with Frederick. It just creates all these new storylines, and I love it because it makes every game a little bit different the way the events play out, and it actually kind of makes sense to the story. So what was really cool in my playthrough is basically, early on, Frederick, there was an event, and it said that he was angry that his army were kind of cowards. He was getting angry about it. Then, interesting enough, it took a turn where Frederick in the next card was very overconfident. Like he, and in the game, which kind of made sense to me, was I started getting more victories. So I happened to draw a card that says Frederick was getting more confident. Then my next card I drew talked about how Frederick was seeing the war as kind of a losing effort and how he didn't know how he could hold on. He was getting very depressed. And it kind of reflected how in my game, crazy enough, I at that point had lost a battle. And I just thought the storylines it was creating, at least in my playthrough, were just accurate and very cool the way it was happening. And then Sweden surrendered and everything was good. I just love the storylines it created and just how much it heightened the tension with these event cards. Even though they don't all do something, they all tell a story and they all have little effects on the game usually. I love the cards and the events and how they play out and how Frederick just needs to hold out and how, like, in real life, he needs luck. He needed luck in real life because without it, he wouldn't have ever had a chance of kind of stalemating and, I guess in the end, kind of winning the 7 years war and making peace. It's just a really cool concept. And the combat, as I said, works perfectly because it like simulates a battle. So as I've claimed a few times, Frederick, I think, is my favorite game ever made. It actually makes me feel like it's the most pure war game I think I've ever played, besides maybe 1775 Rebellion. But the other thing too about Frederick that's so cool is it's a game where losing is sometimes good. You need to surrender and you need to give a little in order to kind of later on make your next attacking push. Which I think 1775, one of my other favorite war games ever, is kind of more of a luck-based thing of just rolling dice and whatever the dice say is whatever happens. Where with this, you can lose on purpose and it'll actually help you later. And also, I think it's, like, I've only ever played as Frederick. I'm going to try another army soon, but it's so much fun to just mess with people and just keep retaking cities and retreating and stuff and just playing that cat and mouse game, because I feel like in real life, Frederick kind of had to do that in order to survive. I've done my best to research in the war, and I know Frederick was so outnumbered, like in the game, he had to do whatever he could to survive, even if it meant just little attacks here and there. And also, like, you have extra armies and you don't know who you need to fight the most of the time. And if you forget about Sweden and the Imperial Army, the really small forces, they can come back later and absolutely destroy you. Which I love, because you need to decide whether or not you're going to take them on early and waste your cards, or if you want to take them on late. This game is between 3 and 4 people. I would actually recommend, if more people want to play, 6 could be good though. Because you could have someone play as Hanover and someone play as Sweden or Imperial Army, which could be a lot of fun. Then you could have another army ready for in case someone got eliminated. Sorry, it's a little dusty in here. So Frederick is an A+. It's my favorite game I've ever played. I've had a blast with it. I hope I can play it more. I'm going to try it out with my other friend group, because I don't know if they'll like it, but I know I will, and that's all I care about. So basically, thanks for listening, everyone. This is my first ever board game review. I did my best to explain the rules as best I could, but it's also, I'm just trying to give you a reason why you should look into it. You should look up get your own interpretation, but you should buy it if you like war games at all. Thank you for listening and take care. You just listened to Benchwarmers Club Sports and Entertainment Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen again. Until then, God bless, praise Christ, and thank you for listening to the show.